Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Creamy.
Crunchy.
Creamy.
Crunchy.
Creamy.
Crunchy.
Crunchy. Food court. Food court. Food court with Richard Blaze. Argue in the Court, food court with Richard Blaze.
I like pancakes.
I like waffles.
Ketchup.
Mustard.
Deep dish.
Crust.
Order in the food court. Food court with Richard Blaze.
Welcome to Food Court, a production of iHeartRadio. This is Food Court with Richard Blaze. That's me. And I found a way to cut out the cooking part and just judge your thoughts. Who knew back when we launched on March 17th, 2020, that that would be an incredible day to sort of launch a brand new podcast where everyone's going to find themselves home and bored. And guess what? We launched back then, and I hope that Food Court's been a nice respite from everything else going on in your world. We all know that everyone's got to have a place to get their petty arguments out to distract them from the real things to fight about. Joining us in Food Court today, we have a podcaster who's also an Emmy-nominated writer and producer who has worked with legends like Joan Rivers, Rosie O'Donnell, and David Letterman. It's Casey St. Ange.
Hi, Richard.
Hi. That's the first time we've used an actual air horn.
I'm very excited.
I usually just make the sound effect myself. I'm pretty good at. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Of course, it's nice to see you again.
Oh my gosh. Going up against Casey, we have her friend and creative partner, an amazing actress you've seen on Girls 5 Eva, Cougar Town, Freaks and Geeks, and so many more things, including her very own talk show. Welcome, it's Busy Phillips.
Woo!
Yay!
Hi.
Oh my gosh, Busy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm great.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's usually just that's the exact sort of energy that we bring to Food Court. I just have to get this out. We're at the end of our recording for season 3. So, you know you're the big talent when you're lined up for the premiere of the finale. Is this true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true.
I feel very honored.
I do too.
And Busy, you're not in studio. You're joining us from New York. But Casey, can you confirm
Richard
that these
has
are goosebumps?
Literal goosebumps on
literal
his arms.
Literal goosebumps. I'm so excited.
That's really cute. I love it.
So excited. The enthusiasm is genuine. And a stacked court today. Now, listen, you two also co-host a podcast called Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best. But if I said that first, it would have sort of taken some of the air and surprise out of the introductions. Now, listen, you must have a really, really strong friendship, the two of you, to actually come into Food Court and potentially damage that friendship here.
It was hard for us. We really, you know, we thought long and hard before agreeing.
We did. And also, I feel like I've learned my lesson a little bit with Casey, like, and food that I can't be too judge. I'm like actually more nervous than she is, I'm sure, because
say why.
Casey, Richard, I'm going to say something now that you're going to think is, it doesn't matter. Casey's a witch and she has accidentally cursed me with a food related thing, because years ago when we first started working together, she said, oh, I can't really eat gluten and wheat. Like I'm allergic. I sneeze a million times. And I was like, and my nose turns really red. And I was like, Casey, that's not a real thing. That's like, that's just, you're one of those people that's just saying that, and that's not real. And Richard, within 6 months, every time I eat wheat, my nose turns bright red. This is not a joke. So I'm telling you, Casey, if I like cross a line, Casey might inadvertently curse me. She feels bad about it.
Not on purpose.
You wish you could take it away, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. If I had the power to reverse it, I'd do it for you, and I would also do it for myself.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking because of your friendship, it's like an accidental spell. Like,
yeah.
I'm envisioning this happening,
it's
and you're like,
always
oh.
It's accidental, yeah.
The hair of bat's wing. Oh, Ben, you were standing too close.
I don't know what, we don't know exactly. I'm just saying that Casey has very strong food powers.
I like it. And I also like that, I like puns. So I feel like there's a spinoff podcast here, but it's sandwich.
Oh yeah, maybe
spells,
maybe
something like that.
Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe me and you. Maybe that's we'll do a project together.
You've heard
Casey will never. Casey will never eat a sandwich because her nose turns red and she sneezes.
It's a gluten-free sandwich podcast. There it is.
Okay, yeah, there okay. we go.
There you go.
There's room for it. Now listen, the case you brought to court today, it's pretty divisive. I mean, by that I mean you both. Well, you both like things, talking about things that are divisive. This is true.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't agree on which unpopular ice cream is the best one. I mean, I love this that you've taken sort of like, you know, potentially two of the least popular ice cream flavors. And that's what we're going to talk about.
Are they the least popular?
We do polls.
Wait, but this is, Casey, wait, I'm catching up. I thought that's your feeling is that they're the best, right, Casey?
Yeah. Well, your feeling is also that it's that yours is the best, and I think that mine is the best, but apparently we're in the minority.
Wait, what?
We've chosen, I guess, our ice creams of choice are for big nerds, I guess.
Now, listen, the polls tell us this. This is not my own personal. I'm the judge. This is not my
Busy's face.
There are ice cream polls.
But there are. There's serious ones. Some of our Rasmussen. What's the other school that usually like shows up in a political plot? But usually, no. It's like we poll like 12 people from the Rachel Ray studio audience.
Oh,
it's usually something like
that. Well, they would know,
right,
I guess.
It's six Sherry's from New Jersey. Or most of.
Know what's delish or Nutrish.
Exactly. But listen, I mean, we've had, we're not spoiling it. You're actually both. I mean, you're incredible because you haven't spoiled what we're arguing about. But this is the second ice cream debate we've had. The first one was an epic food court episode where my two daughters threw down vanilla versus chocolate ice cream. So I'm going to ask you both weigh in on this. Best ice cream flavor, vanilla or chocolate, Casey?
Unpopular opinion, I'm sure, but it's vanilla because it's more versatile. And also, people are so rude to vanilla.
Oh my gosh, Casey came ready to debate. Busy, vanilla or chocolate?
I honestly, this is also, I don't know if this is going to be controversial. I go vanilla as well.
Oh, there you go. Now listen, this is the only food court episode that I had to recuse myself from. Because it was my kids.
It was your
daughter. And we ended up taking it to the streets, and they said that
vanilla won.
Vanilla did win.
Oh, wow.
Vanilla did win.
Okay. All right. See.
So
part of the reason why is the same thing that Casey said, the versatility. Also, like I love a magic shell moment, dipped cone or a magic shell moment.
Respect.
And so anytime, so really that to me works best with a vanilla.
Busy,
I like
this
that.
Summer, Wiener Schnitzel had like a lemonade magic shell dip, and a number of our mutual friends ridiculed me when I suggested getting it.
I don't agree with that, and I'm sorry that happened to you.
Now I'm curious. Was the shell?
The shell was
lemonade?
Yeah, like a lemonade flavor.
Okay. And then you'd get vanilla
like
ice cream.
Like vanilla. And I mean, you could get chocolate if you're gross.
I was going to say, that doesn't work. And you create some sort of sherbet.
Yeah, exactly.
Sherbet sort of thing.
Because I would have gone, I would have gone vanilla. Lemonade with a magic shell chocolate, original magic shell, lemon and chocolate. I would have done it.
You like lemon and chocolate.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I'm just saying I would have done it. I just love Magic Shell.
You're more daring because this is how, like, you are with fashion as well. Like, you're so great at, like, mixing patterns and things like that. The most extreme I can go is chocolate and orange. I don't think I could go all the way to lemon.
But wait, I don't like chocolate and orange.
Oh, my
but
God.
But for some reason, a lemon, like, I don't know why. That lemon with chocolate sounds kind of good to me.
Listen, you know what? Like, we know because of the molecules of the ingredients. Sorry to be a total science.
No, I want to hear it.
But passion fruit and chocolate works incredibly well. They share some flavor molecules. So I think lemon could be a thing, although it does sound gross to me, Busy. But I do want to say, you should compete on some sort of, like, celebrity. I don't know if you have or if you would even do it, but that's how you win food competitions.
Busy's a good cook.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're like, I'm going to go for it. Lemon and chocolate, let's go. You don't win food competitions by, like, drizzling olive oil on a peach.
I said you're a good cook, but I've really only ever had one thing that you've cooked, which is latkes. And you did injure yourself in the process of making them, so
it was
I
the great latke oil injury of 2019.
Was it a splatter?
It was
like so close to my eye that it was like, I was like, that was, it was a real near miss. I pride myself on my latkes. I've been making latkes for 35 years. I swear I love them. And I don't know. I think I had had a little too much wine that night. That part, didn't I? I think that's what had happened.
I don't know if that's what happened.
I got sloppy.
They were delicious, though, and it wasn't just because I felt bad about the burn. Like, in spite of the, you know, I feel bad that you got burned, but the latkes were
delicious,
worth it to me.
I love a good latke. Now I'm just curious, what oil do you, or butter, what do you cook the latke in?
I use, like, a high heat oil, so grapeseed, or I think grapeseed is what I use. But
I'm a latke aficionado.
You are too?
I love latkes. And so I only have a few TikTok posts that have gone viral, and one of them is me making a latke.
Do you soak the potatoes after you grate them? Do you soak them in, like, ice cold water?
You know, this is a this is the controversy right now.
Whether it's
hash browns, latke, any sort of shredded potato, I don't soak.
Yes,
I don't soak.
But I do, and then I add some of the starch back in.
I wring.
Yeah. Oh, you wring them out.
I wring too.
Okay.
But I do, like, a quick ice bath.
No, like, that's what, yeah, you're ready for competition is what I'm saying. You're doing all the things that a chef would do and should do. When I'm making latkes, I don't have time. I'm just trying to make as many as I can.
You know what I'm really bad at, Richard? I'm really bad at controlling gas heat.
Okay.
Like,
I turn it, is that true?
I think so.
I just turn it up so high all the time. So, like, everything is immediately, like, boiling over. I don't know. I don't think I'm ready for.
Yeah, I love how, like, old school chefs would say that the gas burner is sort of like playing the piano.
Oh.
It sounds so much more romantic than it actually is.
I can't control it. It's fire in my house.
Yeah, and it's also like poisoning us.
I'm having this moment right now with my 14-year-old who is now, like, starting to be independent and, like, cooking, making her own lunch, all these amazing things. And, like, but she's, like, the stove is still, like, a very mysterious, powerful thing for her. And it's like, like, it's on, it's off, and it's, like, a big, it's trauma.
Yeah, my kids are 23 and 20, and they're the same. I'm like, do not turn that burner up to 15.
Right.
Stop.
Or, like, you turn it all the way on, but there's no flame, but there's just gas now in the house
you're just
for, like, 2 hours.
It's gonna explode, right?
What did you do? You made cereal this morning. Why was the stove even on? All right, listen, we're having too much fun. Before we get into the actual competition, getting to know a little bit about your food preferences and things that you love. Casey, I hear that you love deviled eggs.
I love deviled eggs. Oh, my God. You guys did your homework.
Yeah.
That was like my birthday celebration this year was deviled eggs and crab rangoons. My husband was like, I'm not going to try to do a big thing. I'm just going to get the two things you love the most. So he made deviled eggs, which my husband makes amazing deviled eggs. He smokes the yolks before he makes the filling and puts a little pickled onion and bacon bits on it. delicious, Matt Debenham, delicious. And then we got crab rangoons from the great Thai place down the street.
That's a way to do it. That's a party right now.
And I was like, I'm going to get it all for me because these are also divisive foods. So I'm going to get to eat all of the eggs and all of the crab rangoons because I thought my friends would be like, turn their nose up at it. But no.
Is a deviled egg divisive? I guess. Yeah.
I think so. Or
yeah,
it's like,
some people think it's not great.
I love that. Okay, I was going to say, you're
one
of them.
Yes, yes, no.
No, I love
that. No, if she had been there, I know that it would have been like me and her. Yeah. But really, the people that were there ate it all up. So
I just love deviled egg with a hella caviar on it.
Mm.
Just like, there you go. That's just like, boom.
I don't love caviar, and I've only had it on a couple occasions. But I know, I'm going to tell another story. When I worked for David Letterman, I was very young. And we were going to Los Angeles, and the company chartered a whole plane for the staff instead of sending us on individual flights. And Dave was like, give everyone first class service. Like, so it was like a flying casino, I felt like. Like, people were playing poker in the back, and it was like a cocktail party in the front. And the flight attendant came by with like little toasts with caviars, and I was standing up talking to Dave. Like, it was a cocktail party. And he took two little toasts, one for himself, and handed one to me, and I was like, oh, shit, this is caviar. Like, I've never had it before. And so I was just holding it and chit-chatting. And then, like, when he turned his head, I tried to just, like, lick it real quick to see. But then he turned his head back, and he was like, did you just lick that caviar? And I was like, I never had it before. I don't like it. I don't like it. And so he was like, I'm super annoyed that you won't eat that hors d'oeuvre. You're gross. I was just like,
tough take.
Yeah, it was, you know, he had strong opinions. He loved caviar.
I will say I love caviar, but it might be the most overrated, like, luxury ingredient. It might be. It is salty fish flavored eggs that explode in your mouth.
Yeah, like salty little bobas.
Yeah.
Do you like caviar, Biz?
I like caviar, yeah.
So do I. I love it. I love putting it on like potato chips.
Oh.
I love the high-low game.
Yeah,
like
the high-low.
Have you been to the baked potato restaurant in Paris?
No, but okay. I'm going to be in London, but now I think I'm going to be making a trip to Paris.
Okay, so there's this place. I don't know what it's called, but I have literally only been to Paris one time. Twice in my entire life, but Michelle, my best friend in here, Michelle, who I know from Dawson's Creek, she used to like be a Louis Vuitton girl.
Michelle, who I know for Michelle Williams, everyone from Dawson's Creek.
Michelle Williams, my best friend Michelle Williams. You can just edit out that first part where I'm weird and just say my best friend Michelle Williams. When she worked with Louis Vuitton, they had their big Paris show, and she was like invited to bring a friend, which is so nice, and invited me. So I flew over there, and then she was like, oh, I got us a reservation at the baked potato restaurant. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like Russian vodka and caviar and baked potatoes. And that's all they have.
Yes.
Wow.
That's it.
I love that.
That's it. And it was, when I tell you, the greatest meal of all time.
Yes. What a concept.
It was. Should we see who's at the door? I think so.
Oh, I love this. We're up and moving around.
This is what it's like to do our podcast, because Busy's like being
all about it. I'm going to ask for a hot take now, since we're talking about baked potatoes. You might not have seen this. This is kind of, or maybe you have.
Yeah.
So Martha Stewart just opened up a restaurant.
Okay.
In Vegas. And they do one.
She did?
Yes. Right. This is like just on my feed, all over my feed yesterday. And they do one table side thing, and they smash a baked potato. The chef comes out with a baked potato, smashes it on a cutting board, fluffs it up. I'm assuming
like Cold Stone Creamery style?
Kind of Cold Stone Creamery, but for potatoes.
Okay.
And immediate reactions on this. This is a total side. This is for the, what are they?
But, and then he mixes content in, is it like a guacamole bar where he's like, you get your butter, your sour cream, your chives, your bacon.
I hope so. I'll be honest. I scrolled.
If that's what it is,
well,
I would like it.
If that's what it is. Yeah, if that's what it is, then yeah, okay, I'm on board with that.
Do you know that?
I like somebody there with like a little condiment bar. Maybe it's like, honestly, like saves some money and is sort of, you know, maybe like in terms of waste is more conscientious, just because, you know, you ask for a baked potato and they're like, do you want butter, sour cream, chives, yeah, everything. But some people only like a tiny little bit of one of the things. And then the other ingredient is just food waste, right?
Yeah.
So it's true. Maybe a tableside baked potato.
She's thinking globally, kind of folks. Like,
what an economist.
I always am thinking globally.
You always are.
Especially what a food cost take.
I love a best spoke potato. Do you know the Castaways restaurant in Burbank?
Mm, yes.
They used to do a tableside baked potato prep, and I loved it because I just felt so special. Like, I never, you know, I never had, like...
Wait, baked potato tableside is, like, a thing?
It was a thing in the past.
It was a thing it was a thing at Castaways in Burbank, but they don't do it anymore. I went there recently, and I was really, like, excited for the tableside baked potato, and they were like, bitch, do your own potato.
I'm here for it. It's getting mixed reviews online, of course. Listen, Martha, I've been on Sally. She's the queen. She's
the queen, and honestly, I think maybe Snoop has had a good influence on her in terms of carbs, you know.
And if you need a recipe, if anyone's just like looking for a recipe for anything,
yes.
Like go to Martha Stewart.
Yes.
Like that's where like if you it's going to work. Just so just to be clear before I say 100%. What's next.
Agree.
But here's what I gotta say. I'm out here making liquid nitrogen ice cream tableside. Like, come on.
Right.
Like, someone help me out. Like, I just want to smash a baked potato. That would be a lot easier. Busy's right. Like, I made the wrong choice. I'm out here, like, getting...
You can open a potato restaurant.
Cryogenic fluids out here and putting on a helmet to do these things. And all right. And last extra credit here for both of you. This is we ask this a lot, but I'm really curious to know. How do you both attack the crafty table? Give me a quick celebrity guide to the crafty table. Do you not even look at it, or does it depend on the time of day?
I mean, pre and post COVID is like a whole thing. It actually, like, I wanted to say something. I've really struggled in the last 2 years on the set of Girls Five Eva with the lack of a crafty table because of COVID. Because you know what? They're like, but they'll give you whatever you want. You just have to ask for it. I'm like, I can't ask for it. I want 3 M&Ms. How are you going to get them to bring me 3 M&Ms? I want like 3 peanut M&Ms and 2 goldfish from the little like candy dispenser thing set up. And I like maybe want a box of cereal. I can't tell that to you. Also, telling that to another person is deeply embarrassing. And I can't like handle it. So what has ended up happening is all 4 of us on the show will get to like lunchtime and we'll look at each other and I'll be like, have we eaten anything since breakfast? Like not a snack, not a candy, not a sip of water, because you can't, you know, you're like wearing masks all the time. So I really, of all the things that COVID has done, this is like definitely the least important, however, affects me when I'm working a lot.
Has affected you. New York crafty, I think, is so different than Los Angeles crafty. Like, it is literally a craft in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And New York is just like, to me, in my experience, just a bunch of stuff that somebody like a PA bought at Costco and put in little bowls. But one time we did Watch What Happens Live in LA, and the crafty guy was making like special pancakes for people in the morning, waffles.
Yes.
All. Yeah. And he got so sad that I would never take any of the things that he was pressing on me. And he was like, girl, you never eat my breakfast. And I was like, actually, I don't really eat wheat because I have like a weird reaction to it. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. What do you like? And like, what do you like for a snack? And I said, I like a deviled egg. The next day, Richard, he made me a platter of 1,000 deviled eggs that nobody took. Nobody took a deviled egg. And I felt so terrible. I ate like 6 of them in the morning, but then they were just still there. And I was taking them, putting them on plates and stashing them in their little refrigerators in every trailer. So whoever owned that trailer company, I'm so sorry, because part of the cleanup was like disposing of
36 eggs in this cabinet.
940 deviled eggs.
Why does the Honeywell have all of them? I love it. I've always said it. Like, I love the 4 p.m. cucumber soup shooter.
Yes!
Like, that's crafty. Does anyone care for a green smoothie at 4 p.m.? Yes.
Yes, I will
yes.
have that.
And like, yeah, some of the crafty, you know, as a native New Yorker, of course, I'm, but like, yeah, it's like Southwest Airlines.
Yes, yes.
We got some, I don't know, we got some random things at Costco. We're just going to throw them across the aisle here. All right.
Oh my gosh.
I actually did a show with Martha.
Yes.
And we were behind, so she just like wandered into Crafty and she looked at it and said, "This is all trash. I have a brisket at my house," because we were shooting next to her house, and she literally walked back to her house and got her own food.
Oh my God.
And I was
God.
Like, "I'm sure the brisket you made is amazing."
Yeah, no, she's real. She's the real deal. I've been upset where she's just on the phone with someone and you're like, "Oh," and you're kind of like, what is Martha Stewart talking about? She's on the phone with her agent. She's like, "Mark, the chickens got out. you need to go over and close the gate." Like, it's real. All the things you think are like that is, it's all real.
I lived in the same town as her. And one time we saw her at the grocery store wearing tennis togs, a fur coat, and she had a shopping cart full to the top with broccoli.
Yes.
That was it. Just
it's real.
A vision.
Oh my.
I love her.
Is there anything before we start, before I become the judge, is there anything you've wanted to ask a chef about? Like, this is a chance. Like, I know you know chefs, you know super famous chefs, but like, is there anything that you really just wanted to ask a chef?
Yeah, I do want to ask you, because I've always wondered, so you do molecular gastronomy sometimes.
Yeah, that's what they say.
It's what they say.
Yeah.
Have you ever made those fake olives?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious about them. Do they taste good? And like, what is the point? Why would you just not eat an olive?
You know, I will say, listen, when you say like molecular gastronomy once on a reality show,
yeah,
and then they just put it in every other
like your
thing
identity,
that you say,
yeah.
It's just like a voiceover edit. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm going to the store as a molecular gastronomist. And the VO doesn't match. You know, and you're like, oh, yeah. I just said that once, and now I'm like, this is my life.
I've just always been curious because I've never had the opportunity to eat one of those manufactured olives. Is it good?
Yeah, but listen to all the things you're saying. The manufactured olive is not...
I have not... I don't think I've ever eaten... I don't know if I ate a manufactured olive. I went to Bazaar. Mm-hmm.
You have.
I've been to Bazaar.
Yes, you have.
At the SLS.
Mm-hmm. So you have. You've had either manufactured mozzarella or tomatoes or olives.
I think it was a mozzarella.
It was.
I think it was a mozzarella ball.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
the tomatoes also felt like they were not real.
Yeah.
And there was smoke.
You ate a tomato and smoke came out of it?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Or like a basil smoke came out. I don't remember.
I don't think I've ever had.
Here, you guys, I actually am going to say the craziest sentence of all time right now. I've only been to Bazaar one time, and it was at a dinner party with David Copperfield.
Unreal.
And he was like, what's all this? This is child's play. I can make an elephant disappear.
No. He recommended the restaurant. It's like his favorite restaurant.
Of course. Like,
that makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So the manufacturer.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What's with chefs who like refuse to cook steak more or whatever?
Oh, I love these questions. First of all, when you were like, what's with, and there was like the big dramatic pause, I thought for sure you were going to say the hair. And
we love your
hair. I know,
hair.
We were talking about. But for one, the manufactured stuff in the hands of like Jose Andres and Bazaar and the right
My
people.
Crush.
Incredible. Right. Incredible stuff. But does it blur the lines of like delicious food versus art, all of that sort of stuff? So yes. Like
seems some, like a lot of it, trouble.
It's a lot of trouble, right? It is.
Yeah.
Some of it can be a lot of trouble. And olive is delicious.
Yeah.
So like the tough thing is like if you're going to make a fake olive, it has to be more delicious than an olive.
Right.
So there's my take on molecular gastronomy.
Okay.
And it's a horrible word to say. I don't know. Have you ever like been going to a dinner party and you're like, where do you want to go tonight? You want Mexican, Chinese, Italian? How about molecules? Do you want like no. Unless you're dining with Copperfield. No one says that. Chefs who don't want to take care of their customers, great question. I could care less as a chef. Like if you want a well-done steak,
right.
We're going to care for it just like a mid-rare steak. That's your prep. We just want to make people happy. That's what a
I
good
mean,
chef
think
just wants.
Goofy. You'll think the person's goofy inside, right?
No. Early on, if you're working for the wrong people, if you have bad bosses early on, and then you're like, someone orders a well-done steak, and this is what Busy's talking about, and the trope is like, oh, go get them the tail of the filet that's been in the fridge for 2 weeks. They don't know what they're talking about. Throw it in the fryer. You know, this is blasphemy, right? Not in a good restaurant. Like,
okay.
You want it well done? All I want to do, most chefs, myself, we're just unloved children who want to make people happy.
Like, right. There and is. You're like actors. It's like they're all the same.
Whatever you want. Like, yeah, sure, you want it well done. Are you gonna pay the same for it?
Yeah.
There you go. As a business person, we just want to take care of it. I like that. Sorry, I got really emotional.
You got emotional. We're going to make you cry, Richard. Oh, that's what we do on our podcast.
Well, that's kind of our MO, actually. Yeah, it really does bum me out, though, when I go to a place and they're like, absolutely no. Oh, chef won't do it.
No substitutions.
Sorry, chef won't do it. I'm like, I am allergic to cilantro, whatever. Like, and they're like, well, then we suggest something else. Like, they just won't make any exceptions, which is like, I don't know, a little bit. Like, I just roll my eyes. I feel like you're a little bit the same. Like, I roll my eyes at anyone who's too precious about anything.
Yes. So again, going back to, I'm going to
like,
tie it together. The molecular gastronomy, it's like, I'm very serious about my craft, not myself. Molecular gastronomy is hilarious. It's a fake olive is hilarious. It's also really cool and fascinating.
Yeah, it's
but
super
you have
cool.
to you have to sort of oh man, we're into this. Crystal,
just be
you
chill.
Okay. Just be chill. All right, speaking of chill.
We got to get into the
We're avoiding fighting.
I don't believe that my flavor is a dislike flavor. I don't believe that. I actually don't.
We'll see what the polls say. Let's get into it. Casey, what is the argument that you brought to the food court today?
Okay, so my favorite ice cream, again, I've suffered ridicule for it, is butter pecan ice cream, which I think people think is very old-fashioned and very old lady-ish. It's even hard to get sometimes. And Busy has her favorite ice cream is also, I think, kind of old lady-ish.
All right, so it's butter pecan.
Pecan, yeah.
However you say it.
I'm from the Northeast.
No, so. Yeah, I only say pecan when butter's in front of it. I say pecan in all other...
Oh, okay,
I just realized this morning, which is...
Oh, okay, okay.
Busy, that means that you are going to be debating on behalf of what flavor?
The best ice cream flavor that exists outside of vanilla. Mint chocolate chip, obviously.
Mint chocolate chip versus butter pecan.
There's no question. Obviously, Casey and I grew up weirdly similar because we're just at 31 flavors, guys. We're just at 31 flavors. If my sister was here, she would take Team Rocky Road. We'd be fine.
There it is. I mean, this is a hot, it's a cold take, but super hot take. These are divisive flavors.
They are. Butter I think pecan. Like probably like that. We have to find a friend that likes rum raisin.
I was just about to say that. That is so weird, Casey. I was about to say that.
That's the least favorite. That's probably the least favorite.
I would say rum raisin is like so old, though, that like, you know what you need to do? Open up a restaurant in Paris that just does rum raisin ice cream. Oh, my gosh. The age-old debate, two ice creams people love to make fun of. And by the way, when I do say people, I want to be clear. It's Producer Crystal. Producer Crystal is the one who's setting this up as, like, the worst two ice cream flavors in the world. This has nothing to do with me. I think ice cream is actually, and this is debatable. You know how people say there's no bad pizza?
Yes.
I don't agree. There's lots of bad pizza.
Oh, for sure.
I agree. But I agree with that.
I will say this. I don't think there's bad ice cream.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Ranch dressing made into an ice cream? With probably. A chick fried chicken cone?
Yeah, delicious. Probably surprisingly good.
All right, here we go. Before
Busy's not saying anything, but her face is saying a lot.
I know. This is.
I was really thinking about that because I love Hidden Valley Ranch. I love ranch dressing, and I was really thinking if I would get down for a ranch ice cream, and I'm not sure I would.
Well, we're gonna make that happen.
Okay.
Because the next time the latkes are made, we're gonna make a latke cone. We're gonna cook it in schmaltz.
Now I'm in. Now I'm in.
Now she's in.
Okay, there it is. There it is. So like we've combined forces. We're collaborating, and that's an episode of something coming down. We're gonna make that happen. Before we get into the big argument here, like all courts, we start our court with a trivia round.
Okay.
A trivia round to see who's gonna present their case first. Busy's in New York. We're here in LA. So we need a sound effect.
Okay.
To chime in, to buzz in. I have, of course, my little air horn here. Casey, you have one of our props in studio.
I have a buzzer.
Classic game show buzzer.
Yeah, what do you have, Busy?
And Busy, you can do whatever sound you want. Whatever you got close by, you can make a sound.
I literally have nothing near me.
Yeah, you can use your voice. You can,
I'll go, ca-caw.
Yes. Okay. Kaka versus classic game show buzzer. By the way, I will reveal this. Busy does have a little bit of an advantage here because she just has to say something.
Right.
And Casey has to physically touch something. This is,
and you know, this is what the pandemic's taught. Uncoordinated.
Here we go. Oh, question one. This is Price is Right rules. Closest without going over. The question is, how many pounds, yes, pounds of ice cream does the average American eat in a year?
Kaka.
Busy.
35.
So that means, Casey, you get to answer as well in Price is Right rules.
16.
Closest without going over. The answer is 22 pounds. That's all right. That's okay. We just got to put the...
But 22 pounds, I feel like it's... But I guess you eat it 16 ounces at a time, right? In those little...
You guys, I bet I eat 33.
Do you? I don't know about that.
I bet.
Like, we're just getting to know each other, but you said you only eat 3 M&Ms at a shot.
No, but...
But that's at work.
That's for other people.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's in front of mixed company.
That's not what I do. Also, Richard, yeah, no, there's 33 pounds of ice cream going into this person, currently. In the last 2 years, for sure.
I think 22 pounds is low. I'm surprised. I'm surprised at that. All right, so that means, Casey, you're up 1-0, heading into question two. Carvel, a place very close and dear to my heart. An ice cream parlor chain. Is it a parlor, Crystal?
It said that on the Carvel website, so yes.
At one point, probably it was. Carvel, an ice cream parlor chain mostly located in the Northeast, has made
This is already unfair. This is already unfair to me because I'm from a place that Carvel did not exist. I'm from Arizona.
But you're there now.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's just see. Let's continue. But I already have lost.
I don't know where you're at, but there's a Carvel within 4 miles of you. I know because that's the distance of the whole stretch of Manhattan. So, like, you're there.
Okay.
All right, Carvel, an ice cream parlor chain mostly located in the Northeast, has made 2 iconic ice cream cakes since the 70s.
Oh, Kaka!
Whoa!
Fudgy the Whale!
Casey came in first with the buzzer there.
Fudgy the Whale and Cookie Puss.
One is Fudgy the Whale. What is the name of the other one? The answer was Cookie Puss, and we're going to give Casey credit for that.
Yeah.
By the way, we have done, I don't know, 40 episodes, 45 episodes of this court. No, that's the most enthusiastic chime-in we've ever had from both of you. Like, I was like,
I was just excited. I was just excited because I knew what it was because Allie Wentworth wrote a book called Allie's Well That Ends Well. And to promote the book, like, she sent me a Fudgy the Whale. And then I was like, what the fudge is this? What the fudge is Fudgy the Whale? And then my kid's dad, Mark, who grew up on the East Coast, was like, you don't know Fudgy the Whale and Cookie Puss? And I was like, what are you talking about? Has everyone lost their minds? So I was just excited because I don't know anything about Carvel except in the last, 7 months I learned.
Amazing. Well, listen, did you know this?
That's all there is to know.
Did you know this? Cookie Puss, fashioned with a clown face that uses cookies for eyes and an ice cream cone for the nose, according to Carvel's backstory for the character, Cookie Puss is a space alien who was born on a planet called Birthday. And the cake has 2 layers of chocolate and vanilla separated by crunchies. Are you kidding
me? I knew he was an alien because when I was a kid, they had a commercial with him in space.
I'm going to need them to calm down. I'm going to need them to take it down.
And also, we can't forget Cookie's cousin, Cookie Opus, for St. Patrick's Day.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which probably has mint chocolate chip ice cream in it, if I'm thinking.
Oh, my gosh.
Now I won.
You have something to look forward to come March.
That's going to be not. We're sending one of those to your door right now, Busy.
I wouldn't mind it. I'm not going to lie.
Unbelievable.
Can I just say, I know this is controversial, but I prefer Baskin-Robbins ice cream cake to Fudgy the Whale because I actually like the ice cold cake that they use.
Oh, it has actual cake in it.
Yeah.
And it's so specific. Is that a way to say it? It's like not maybe great, but like since I grew up eating it, I really love it.
It touches a place inside.
It really
of you.
Does.
I love this. I mean, based off of the argument we're about to have, texture is a big part, a big part of the debate.
Yes.
All right. Listen, that means, Casey, you're up 2-0 with only one question left. But the good thing on Food Court is question three, depending on the score after two questions, is worth 2.5 points.
Casey. I hope it's about CPK.
This one's worth 2.5 points. So you can win the round with this one question. Casey, sorry, I make the rules.
It's okay.
It's my court. According to NASA, ice cream is one of the three things astronauts miss most when they're on a mission. Guess one of the two other items missed most. Food items.
Oh, I was going to say something else.
By astronauts.
Caca!
All right, Busy.
Ketchup.
Ooh, ketchup. Ketchup is not correct, Busy. That means that, Casey, you can win this
You can steal it.
You can steal it. Ketchup was a good guess.
That's honestly right. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're lying. I think astronauts are lying.
You got a guess here.
I think that steak?
Steak is incorrect as well. Okay. The correct answer was pizza and soda, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah.
That means by default, Casey.
I've seen pictures of astronauts like pouring Coca-Cola and then getting, you know, with zero gravity and then like, you know, fishing it with their mouth or whatever, like getting it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Were they in the satellite with a polar bear? I think that's a commercial from Coca-Cola.
Maybe. Was it a cartoon?
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. That means that, Casey, you win. Do you want to present your argument first or second?
I think Busy should go first.
All right. That means Busy is going to go first, arguing for mint chocolate chip ice cream. And before our arguments, let's take a quick break.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
And we are back to recap today in the food court. Busy Phillips is here defending the honor of mint chocolate chip ice cream, while Casey Saint-Ange hates it and loves butter pecan. All right, the way this works is that each of you will have 3 minutes to state your case. During this 3 minutes, you need to lay out your case and not focus on your opponents. This isn't your time to go negative. That comes later. Does everyone understand the rules?
Understand.
All right. After you both state your case, you'll get 2-minute rebuttal to go as negative as you want to go. I forget who went first.
It's me.
Casey, you're going to go first. No, Busy's
going
to go
first.
Busy, you're going to go first. And your 3-minute argument for why mint chocolate chip ice cream rules starts now.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's a classic. Everybody knows that. And here's the great thing. Mint and chocolate, a great combination. It's why Frango mints from the old Marshall Fields in Chicago are incredible. Everybody loves Andes mints. People like the combo. And then when you make it iced cream, it just takes it to a whole new level. Here's the other thing I'm going to say about mint chocolate chip ice cream. You can go high and you can go low. Everybody's got some fancy ice cream place that's moved into the neighborhood in the last 5-10 years. A mint, a fresh mint and like cacao is going to give you as much flavor and delightfulness as, you know, the Baskin Robbins version or the Costco version, if we're being honest. Listen, I feel like it's refreshing and rich and you get just enough richness, but it doesn't feel like too overwhelming because you're already hot in the summer and everybody knows that ice cream dehydrates you. You don't need to be like having something that's like cloyingly sweet because mint chocolate chip ice cream is not cloyingly sweet. And you can do big chunks of chocolate or you can do little shavings of chocolate. I'll get down with both. I'm telling you, it's the perfect ice cream flavor, period. That's it. I don't even need 3 minutes.
All right. There we go. Making the case for the refreshing part of mint chocolate chip ice cream. That is certainly, I think that's the thing about it, right? It's refreshing, not too sweet. I love that. Is that true? I think that's a mental thing, that it doesn't seem sweet because the mint sort of gives you the sense that it's also sweet when it's not. But it is a good way to keep something, low sugar by using like something like mint. It gives you the feels that it's sweet. Vanilla does this. Cinnamon does this. People don't realize vanilla and cinnamon are not sweet, but when you taste them in something, you feel like that thing is sweet. So
psychologically,
mint does the same thing. So that's a great point right there. Texture, might have to get deeper into that. Small chunks or large chunks, or are they just like chocolate glass in there? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not giving Casey any tips for you for the rebuttal, but Casey, you have 3 minutes now to let us know why butter pecan deserves to come, maybe out of grandma's purse or wherever it's been for the last couple of years. Butter pecan ice cream. Three minutes starts now.
Okay, butter. It's the first word in the name of butter pecan. We know that all things are better with butter. We know that butter is the basis of all great desserts. And so who's the genius that finally figured out the way to make ice cream perfect was to put the taste of butter in it? So butter, pecan, butter, for me, like pecan, it could be any nut, to be honest. Like I'm not particularly enthusiastic about pecans or pecans, depending on where you're from. But it could be any nut. But I think the pecan is nice in there because as far as nuts go, it has like a little crispness. It can have a little crispness, but it's also soft. So you get something, like I love ice cream with chunks in it. I am not one to just want a completely smooth and creamy ice cream. I like a little something extra to give it texture. And a pecan is like a nice texture in there because it's not chaotic, you know, it's not like interrupting the ice cream flow. Also, butter pecan is generally white or like cream colored. So if you spill it on yourself, it's like not that big a deal. It's not going to stain your white summer outfit normally. And yeah, I like it. I like that it's neutrally colored. What else about it? I mean, I kind of feel like busy feels. Like I feel like butter is the star there. You put butter on everything. Butter tastes great. And it's butter, like, is the star of most desserts that we, you know, you think it's chocolate, you think it's whatever, but it's not. It's really butter. Like your fave dessert doesn't exist without butter. So let's get it in some ice cream.
All right. Okay, there we go. I mean, I was not expecting, you know, the argument of butter pecan's great because it's neutrally colored. that one came, but I love the spillage take. Like, yes, like no one wants to, I don't know, do you want a nuclear green ice cream spilling all over your white shirt? And an argument for butter, which I don't think we've had.
Well, we had that debate because it was butter versus hating butter. Remember? It was that guy who hated butter.
Hated butter?
Prop.
That's right, we did.
From Behind the Bastards.
That's right, we did.
He doesn't believe best butter should be in food.
I feel sad for that guy.
Oh, man, there we go. Well, that is a tough first round there. I have to say, it's dead even here. It's refreshing versus neutrally colored and soft, and which I think is interesting when you talk about the texture, which is something maybe we have to get into in the rebuttal here. The textures of both of them have texture, And like, I don't know if I'm the only one that at the end of that 16 ounces of ice cream, is it just like a little puddle of like soft pecan? Sometimes you're in. I don't know. Okay, here we go. The rebuttal starts now. You got 2 minutes. Your 2 minute rebuttal starts now.
Okay. First of all, neutral color as a plus. It's not like Kim Kardashian launching Skims. You know what I mean? It's ice cream. Like, it's fun. It should be fun. And I don't know. I'm not down with the neutral. Also, like, maybe for a child, but you, good luck to you trying to get a kid to eat butter pecan ice cream, which is why they would go for the obviously superior vanilla for a child. I tend to be able to eat my ice cream both in cup and cone form, my mint chocolate chip. And in fact, I actually think mint chocolate chip is best in cone form. And I have yet to deal with drips all over me because I'm actually not a toddler. Also, I just would like to say on the note of texture, there is nothing more chaotic than a soft nut. Like, what? At the end of a cup of ice cream, if you're left with a puddle of chocolate chips or a puddle of soft nuts, like, the first time I ever heard about soft nuts was when I worked in North Carolina for the first time shooting Dawson's Creek, and guys would put boiled peanuts into their Mountain Dews. So they're already boiled, and drink them and then eat the boiled peanut. It is not something that I ever want. I actually would get. So a soft nut to me is not the pro. And finally, butter. I'm all about butter. I like butter. Butter's fine, but I don't need it all up in my ice cream. Ice cream's already sweet. I don't need to like have a butter flavor coming through. I need a refreshing taste on a hot summer day. It's so humid and hot, and I just want like something cold and minty with a little bit of chocolate so that I feel like I'm getting a little bit of the like sweet, sweet, sweetness that I need, but I don't need too much. The other thing is, I will say, texture-wise, really, with mint chocolate chip, like I had said before, it runs the gamut. So you can get big chunks. You can get mini chocolate chips, mint chocolate chip ice cream made with mini chocolate chips. You can get shavings. You can get those weird chunks like you talked about. But that choice is yours to make. You can't get butter pecan without a soft nut.
Me a minute back because
yeah, no worries. Get a little extra time there from the first round. We just have to do, like, how many times has soft nut been said in the last 5 minutes? You know, listen, I think that's an argument to be made, the soft nut. But I got to say, like, the first bite of mint chocolate chip, that first chip is inedible. It's so cold
Very
and so
sharp.
Hard and so sharp. Do I prefer a soft nut? I don't know. I'm confused right now. I don't know. All right, Casey, you got 2 minutes of a rebuttal now. Your 2 minutes starts now.
Busy, I agree with you. I will say that I agree with Richard. I think the first bite of the chocolate in mint chocolate chip is too sharp. But what I do like about mint chocolate chip is if you get the right mint chocolate chip, the texture of the chocolate changes throughout. So you get like a pleasant, nice temperature of chocolate somewhere near the middle. And then you get a little bit sometimes of melty chocolate near the end. But it's not always your choice what kind of chocolate you get. You get the mint chocolate chip that is at the place that your friends have made you go to or the restaurant that you're visiting. You don't get to choose if it's like some fancy colorless, like made with mint tea and carob or whatever the heck in Los Angeles they'll try to give you. Or you might get like some neon green with what I like to call chorklet. Is that from Seinfeld? It's not really chocolate. It's like simulated chocolate wax bits. And, you know, and it's just, it doesn't really have enough mint in it. So you just, you never know what you're getting, I feel like, with mint chocolate chip because there are so many variables. I will also say that I enjoy mint desserts. I like a York peppermint patty. I would never give those to my parents after trick-or-treating. I would keep them for myself. And those are covered, I feel like, with chocolate. But I'm a grown person now. But the thing with mint and chocolate, which I is a flavor combination that I do like, is that I like to eat these things in a quantity. And I feel like there always comes a time where I'm like, this tastes like toothpaste. And it tastes like I'm eating chocolate after just brushing my teeth. And then it actually starts to feel like physical toothpaste, like I'm actually chewing and swallowing actual toothpaste. And then it doesn't become enjoyable to me. It like freaks me out a little because, like, you know, who wants to eat a cone of toothpaste? Not this girl, especially not with chocolate chips in it. So that's why I feel like butter pecan is superior.
Wow. A hot rebuttal round right there. I once, just sidebar here, I once in a competition, I forget what it was, made tzatziki-flavored toothpaste for actual people to eat. I did not win, surprisingly.
That's
enough.
That's surprising, yeah.
That I was like, well, what do you want? Do you want your toothpaste to sort of like remind you of a Euro?
Was this a toothpaste competition?
No one wants it. No, it was just like a festival thing. And I was like, I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to make it.
Although
what? It looks like, doesn't it look like toothpaste?
Can I tell you something? Well,
I served it on
a toothbrush.
Was it
actual toothpaste, like you could brush your teeth with it?
It was like my Andy Warhol stage.
But was it tzatziki? Was it tzatziki or was it toothpaste?
Like you could eat it. Like you can swallow it. Like, you know, you don't usually want to swallow toothpaste. But it didn't. You know, like I served it on the toothbrush and then, you know, you could brush it on your piece of roasted lamb.
Oh, okay.
God, wait, by the way, I think that sounds really good.
Don't try to butter him up.
Listen, you will butter
no,
him
I really up. Like I really like tzatziki a lot. And I feel like I imagine that consistency brushed on my lamb chop is like exactly the right consistency brushed on my lamb chop. I think that probably giving people the imagery that you made it toothpaste textured maybe was that might have been the misstep.
Yeah, no one wants little cucumbers in their toothpaste.
No.
Well, that going back to the conversation about psychology, like how much it plays into even if something's delicious or not delicious, sometimes you can convince yourself otherwise. Mm.
Okay, well, listen, you two have given me a lot to think about. I'm going to go retire to my chambers, and we'll be back after this quick break.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay, we are back. I have, I think, come to a verdict, and I'm ready to read my decision. But before we do that, Casey, what would you like me to know before I render my verdict?
It was really hard for Busy and I to come up with anything that we disagree on because I think that we love each other and we let each other live, you know? So I don't really hate mint chocolate chip ice cream. And in fact, I love it because it makes her happy and she's my friend. So when I see her happy, then I'm happy. And so, you know, we're playing around here. We're splitting hairs, but I would be just as happy for her if she won as if I won with butter pecan ice cream.
All right, Busy, 60 seconds. Casey almost conceding. And our final comment, Busy, what do you want to leave the court with?
Listen, I think, like all things, and like my question to you before we started, yeah, Casey and I are very much into like, listen, it's not for her, but if it makes you happy, go for it. I don't want a soft nut in my mouth, you know? I just don't. But okay. I do think that I will always return to mint chocolate chip again and again and again for the rest of my life. I imagine myself to be a lady of 105 and having someone spoon feed me some melty chocolate mint puddle. Mm,
I love it. With your choice of size chocolate chips, which as I get ready to read my verdict, that's one thing I have to say. You do not get to choose your chocolate chips. You buy whatever you buy. And it's in there. And I don't think I've never, or maybe we should try this after this. Crystal, can we call every ice cream parlor within 2 miles and be like, what kind of chips are you serving?
Can I tell?
Oh, the large ones? Can you make them small? Busy?
Wait, I do that. I mean, I actually
I will say you would do that.
I would. Like, I think that the shaved chocolate, like chocolate shavings, like they do in the Baskin Robbins, I really like shaved chocolate, like a less chip like chocolate. So I try to go for smaller chips. I'm a smaller chip person myself. So I will ask about the chip size. And I will also ask if it's dark chocolate or milk. I prefer dark.
Right.
So
listen, get what you want, what you want. And, yeah, and
that's what I'm saying.
And like
she
I said,
would, I will say, I knowing her as well as I do, I feel like she would call around to find the type of chips 100%. That she wanted.
I respect that.
100%.
And like I said, chefs, we just want to make people happy. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make everyone happy with my decision here. Butter pecan or pecan versus mint chocolate chip ice cream. It came down to a lot of great arguments. It's sort of like, it's refreshing versus the warm hug of butter, right? It's like toasted pecans. And then it's the texture. It's kind of, it's kind of a crunchy thing that then becomes soft and hydrated with the flavor of butter and brown sugar. But then you have mint chocolate chip and it's refreshing and like you want another bite and it's perfect on a summer day. York peppermint patties, I think, are perfect for someone who also likes butter pecan ice cream. Just to be clear, like, I think that's a perfect combination.
Yeah, an old person, a person who has an inner old person.
Which I love. It was not an easy, buttery, refreshing decision to make, but this court will judge in favor of mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Really didn't see it coming. I really thought you were going to go butter pecan because you know you're a chef, and it's like
the argument was great.
And their butter.
I think, and I listen. I hate to say this, but Casey, I think there was just you love Busy so much. You were just so kind in some of the arguments. That I kind of like mint chocolate chip too, and you know, like that was really what it. And then let's be honest, it came down to the soft nut.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
But also, I do want to just say this. If you went to a place and like you had to get ice cream and the two flavors were mint chocolate chip and butter pecan, 98% of people would get mint chocolate chip.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm special.
That's it.
That's true.
I'm a unique person.
Yeah. And
you are unique, Casey. You are. Your inner old lady is just, she's there. She's got her likes and her gluten intolerances.
I honor
her. She sets spells. We honor her.
It's a York peppermint patty and a poppy seed bagel.
A Fudgy the Whale.
And there it is. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming. I hope you had a great time. For more Busy Phillips, find her across social media at Busy Phillips. And every week on her podcast, Busy Phillips is doing her best. Girls 5 Eva is on Peacock and so funny. So check that out if you haven't. And you can find Casey, and you can also find her on Busy Phillips is doing her best every week, and also on Instagram at InstaCase and on Twitter at Casey. So listen, what are we all doing our best at right now? What would you say? What are we doing our best at?
Oh, I'm trying not to cry because I said that I would be happy for Busy if she won, but I was completely lying. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. I would never cry. When Busy wins, I win.
Casey, Richard doesn't know us well enough yet. I think you really made him feel bad for a second.
I did.
I really did.
For a hot second, I was like, oh my gosh, there's tears coming.
But we do like to try to make people cry. So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't have been upset if he really did.
I know. I think the goosebumps were probably, that's like probably good enough.
Yeah.
But.
That's it. That's the, we can't have a wild swing from goosebumps to tears.
That's emotion.
Yeah, that's emotion.
Right? I mean, you get true emotion. Well, I will be all over the podcast. I'm going to go for a big run right after this, and I'm going to listen to all. So I'm going to binge.
What are you doing your best at, Biz?
Me? Yeah. I'm okay. I'm doing my best at getting my kids ready to go back to school by cleaning out their closets for them while they're not here and getting rid of stuff that they don't know I'm getting rid of.
Speaking of evil geniusness. Mm.
Yes.
My wife is doing that same thing. Just did that same thing. Just like cleared out both of the
kids'
closets.
It's so funny because they like... I do. I'm a bit of a hoarder, and I love clothes too. So, like, I will hold on to special things that like have nostalgia vibes for me with the kids, like even clothes and things that I think maybe when they're adults they'll want to like, oh, I loved that dress when I was four, you know, or whatever. But I save like one thing, and then everything else goes.
Got to be ruthless.
I feel like there's a therapy session I'm going to have with both of you soon.
I don't know.
There's a comfort level here. That's
for
pretty
sure. Richard, well, what are you doing your best at?
Yeah, what are you doing your best at?
Give me a little contact. Just like something I'm working on
just
personally
anything,
or just anything that I'm doing right now.
Okay.
Here's what you can really help me with this. So this is true. This is a little therapy here. So I'm trying to do my best at not like I'm getting ready to film a second season on a big network show. It's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
But I can't get out of my head whether it will get to a season three or whether I will be a part of it in season three. Does that make any sense? I can't get something way out of line, way in the future.
Yeah, it's almost impossible that you wouldn't feel that.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's how anyone would feel in your position. But also, you don't have any control over either of those things. All you can control is how you're going to do in this upcoming season. And you're going to be great because you're one of the most memorable chefs on television
of all time, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh,
and so like,
yeah. And also like what Casey just said, first of all, this is that trick of it is so out of your control, so completely out of your control, that the only thing you have control of is the time you have and how great or memorable or amazing you make it. Like, to spend the filming of the second season concerned about season three will be a bummer to you.
I know.
Because then you'll miss out on season two.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I guess what I'm saying is I can't escape it because it was, did I get the part? Did they watch the first episode? Is it getting picked up for season two?
Right.
Am I going to be a part of it?
Right.
So like, whatever it is, I just keep creating this. You know,
do you remember when they told Conan O'Brien that he was losing The Tonight Show, that they were going to go back to Jay Leno? Those were the best shows from that moment on because he was a man with nothing to lose. And I just wish...
And Casey, do you want to say something about me?
Do you remember how when we knew that Busy Tonight was being canceled, how... Well, I think all the shows were great. I honestly do. It's one of the things I'm most proud that we worked on. But I almost wish that they told everyone that this is probably going to be the last hurrah for this. Like, I almost wish that because I feel like when you have nothing to lose, you just really are yourself. Because here's the thing. If they don't decide to have you back for a third season or if they don't decide to do the show for a third season, that's on them. That's a bad decision maybe on their part and probably a decision they haven't even made yet. But all you can do is like go out there and kill it. Richard Blaze is meant to do cooking things on television and we'll always watch it. So
unbelievable.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. You just really unlocked something for me. Okay. Well, look at that. I win today. I think I win today. Thank you so much, both of you,
for
being a part of this. It means a lot to us. Food Court is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Richard Blaze. My producer is Crystal Bamahi. Food Court was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis. The rest of my Food Court clerks are David Wasserman and Jasmine Blaze. The theme song is by Jason Neesmith. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Food Court with Richard Blaze. Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.